I'm David DeRoche for WNPR News. High school English class is usually a time when you read books and write essays. If you draw pictures, you might get into trouble. But not in James Shiver's English class at Public Safety Academy in Enfield. He actually asks his students to draw. Shivers is breathing new life into an age-old practice that's now being called visual literacy. 18-year-old Samantha Vasquez was initially skeptical at the thought of drawing and looking at art in English class.
At first, I was kind of like really against this because I didn't understand it.
She's a book lover and thought all this attention on visuals would be distracting.
But when you get to actually see what he's doing, you can kind of see that he's trying to put like visuals with like the writing and things like that, and it opens up like new ways to view different things.
Her teacher, James Shivers, uses visual literacy as a way to get his students to think critically. Being visually literate means being able to decode or decipher all the visual beauty and noise of modern life. It means being able to understand different media messages, like billboards, pop-up ads, commercials, message boards, social media, news articles, and even street art. In other words, it's about visuals as a way to convey meaning. Here's how Shivers describes one of his drawing lessons.
So it's making a visual argument without using words. So it's very abstract, but they're very good at it too.
He's been a teacher for over 20 years, but when he first started teaching high schoolers 6 years ago, he noticed something. His students were constantly on Facebook, checking their Instagram feed, posting something to Snapchat. These social media distractions frustrate most teachers, but it inspired Shivers.
I realized every student had a phone in their hand, and that grammar, that multimodal grammar, was in their hand. And I kept thinking, how can I use this? How can I explore this?
And if done correctly, visual literacy has a lot of benefits. A Yale study found that children tend to use bigger words after describing a piece of art. And it's understood that the more senses that are exposed to learning, the more knowledge students will retain. Today, Shivers' students, all seniors in high school, are drawing. By making their own art, the thinking goes, students get a better handle on the process, which can offer insight into what visuals are intended to mean and what might be lying just beneath the surface.
I remember when we first started, a lot of you said, I can't draw. And then think about where you are now in terms of drawing. So do you feel more confident or not? Or are you more like,
I still can't draw.
So then change hands today. Draw with your other hand. Okay?
The lights go out. Shivers turns on a smart board projector. A photograph of a bronze sculpture appears on the screen. It's a man with no face. His left arm can't be seen. And his right arm is bent across his stomach. His head tilts slightly down.
So I'm going to ask you to draw. You're going to have about 5 to 7 minutes to draw. As you're drawing, I want you to think about what mood this piece is sending out.
He then asks them to write down any emotions they might feel, or to come up with a story. When they're done, Shivers puts up another photo on the screen. It's the same sculpture, but a different angle. Again, they draw and then write. Then a third photo, same sculpture from a third angle. And when they're done, they talk it out. Everyone sees something different. One student sees brooding in the sculpture, another malice. One perceives nostalgia, and another strength.
We actually see what we know. So we've studied this in psychology. So whatever's in us comes out as we look at the world. And so to become aware of that allows us to see into situations, which is called insight.
Senior Matt Hutchings admits he's not an artist, but by drawing things out, it does help him see other perspectives.
I'd still rather write than draw, but in some parts, drawing can help me understand something differently and get a deeper feeling for it.
10,000 miles away from Shivers' classroom, a University of Sydney professor is among several researchers who have studied visual literacy. Since 2012, Australia has incorporated visual literacy into its national curriculum. Professor John Callow points out that visuals are everywhere, so they can't be ignored. So the question for researchers is what sorts of visual literacy practices are effective? Callow says the key is thoughtful engagement with a variety of what he calls visual texts.
How might we help kids and students at certain points in time to step back and go, okay, I really like this, and I think it's because they're doing these things visually as well as with audio or video or something like that as well. Or I've just read something. I don't know if it's true or not. It looks like it could be true because it's a really schmick website and it has ABC News or it has some other title at the top or an icon. But I'm not convinced that just the look of it is what makes it credible. So I need to be able to go and look at, you know, the viability of it or the validity of it and ask those sort of questions as well.
Visual literacy advocates point out that it's not a magic pill, and some students respond better than others. But some form of this method has been around for centuries. Before there were words, there were pictures. The first letters were pictures, and some languages still use pictographic words or letters. And of course, there's the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, in visually literate classrooms, words are also worth a few pictures. David DeRoche, WNPR News.